we've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Yeah, hey, why not? If you like. I'm a friendly guy. I'll talk to you. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson here in for Chip Flory. He'll be back next week sometime. I hope he's doing well. In the meantime, we've got Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University here to talk about the Ag Economy Barometer. This month's update is out. Dr. Mintert, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate your monthly update, sir. How are we today?
Good. And good morning to you, Davis, and all your listeners. Pleasure to be on the program.
Glad to hear it. We appreciate you. Now, before we get into this month's barometer, take me back to October 2016, because that date came up just right in the first paragraph of your write-up here. Talk to me about what conditions were like then. I honestly, there were a few blank spots back there, Dr. Minter, to be honest, for me. We see this month's numbers comparing to October 2016. So can you tell me what was going on in October 16 that maybe mirror today's conditions?
Well, that's a good question. So if you go back into that 14, 15, and 16 era, of course, that was the downturn, right? We were really kind of in a downturn mode after the very strong period from 07 to about 13 in U.S. agriculture. And then we were kind of retrenching and people were kind of pulling back. And of course, we just started the barometer survey in the fall of 2015. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any history prior to that. And of course, October of 16 was just before the 2016 presidential election. And we saw dramatic improvement in sentiment following that election. So, you know, that 2016 period, people were kind of struggling a little bit and the outlook didn't look all that good. And so people were very concerned about where U.S. agriculture was headed. And as you point out, we're getting pretty close to that level again, and people are very concerned about where the future is headed now. And so just a lot of anxiety back then, a lot of anxiety now for somewhat different reasons. Now we've got inflation concerns, we've got rapid rises in input cost, we've got uncertainty about output prices, and you know, I think people are worried about a potential cost price squeeze. And, you know, I was just looking at some numbers before the broadcast here, Davis. And since we collected data in June, and our data collection this month ended on the 17th of June, since the 17th of June, front month corn futures have gone down a buck and a half. Ooh. Front month soybean futures have gone down almost $2, I think $1.84, looking at my chart. So, people worried about a cost price squeeze. This is exactly what they're worried about, that they'd be stuck with high cost and prices for the commodities they produce would be coming down. So I think that's the anxiety level we're picking up in the sentiment survey. And it's sort of being realized here these last few weeks.
Well, and what's interesting here is sort of the divergence when you collected this data between thoughts about current conditions and the index of future expectations. The current conditions index was 5 points higher than in May, but then we get to the future expectations and we were 5 points lower. And I wonder if the decline in crop prices that you mentioned here, since we were before that, if those current condition ratings will be different when you take the survey in July again.
That's a good question in terms of how people will interpret that. My guess is it'll probably have a bigger impact on the index of future expectations because when you think about the current conditions, I think it's a reflection of the fact that the bulk of the 21 crop has already been sold and marketed. Those profits have been locked in for by and large. I mean, we've still got some inventories left, but most people have a fairly modest amount of the 21 crop left if they have anything left to sell here in the summer of 22. But I think the concern is about for the 22 crop, I've incurred these high input costs. What am I going to wind up selling that 22 crop for? And admittedly, some people have made some forward sales, but very few people have sold a very high percentage of their crop for the 22 crop season. And so that is largely still at risk. And I think that's what people are telling us. They're saying, yeah, my income statement for 22 is probably going to be reasonably good, based on what's happened on selling that 21 crop at some strong prices. But looking ahead to the 22 crop, I've incurred these really high input costs, and I'm really not sure what I'm going to wind up getting for it. And the price volatility we've experienced these last 3 or 4 weeks has really kind of brought that home. And so it's going to be an interesting survey. I think we're going to get some interesting responses. And of course, at the end of the survey, we always have an open-ended question and say, you know, we've been asking you questions. What's on your mind? Just wide open. And that part of the survey, I suspect, is going to be quite interesting this month.
Well, and to your point, your report here says this month, 51% of survey respondents said they expect their farms to be worse off financially a year from now. That's the most negative response you've received to this question since you began collecting data in 2015. Man, next year, we've talked about it too. We don't know where inputs prices are going. A lot of speculation that inputs prices are going higher. And that certainly is reflected in some dire sentiments here among producers.
Yeah, producers are telling us they expect to see input prices rise above the stratospheric levels that we've already experienced here in 2022.
Yeah.
And then you put on top of that the uncertainty about what the prices are going to be for corn, soybeans, and wheat, and the livestock as well in 2022 and 2023. You know, it's a recipe for anxiety, and that's what we're picking up. I think it's important to remember that we're picking up, this is a sentiment survey. People are telling us how they feel.
Yep.
They're not always looking, or in very few cases, in fact, would they be looking at an income statement when they're responding to these questions. I mean, unless they happen to do that in recent days, that's not what's on their mind. It's more their gut reaction of how I feel about what's taking place. And what we're picking up is anxiety related to uncertainty and concerns about a downturn. And of course, you're seeing the same kind of things show up in the consumer sentiment surveys. The consumer sentiment surveys are very weak as well. On the consumer side, people are worried about inflation. Farmers are worried about inflation too. And they're worried about the economy in terms of a potential recession, which could have some negative impacts spilling over to agriculture. And of course, the tremendous uncertainty coming out of what's going on in Ukraine with respect to those exports and how that'll impact our prices. And then you throw in weather, which was always a concern here in July. You've created a recipe for uncertainty and anxiety, and that's what we're picking up.
Well, and one of the interesting things that you picked up, and I wonder if this is related to speculation about the amount of grain that'll be coming out of Ukraine in the coming year, but you've seen some acreage mix decisions kind of mixed up just a little bit.
Yeah, so we asked some people, asked everybody in our survey questions about their plans for the upcoming year. And so in a kind of a broad-based question, we asked them about their cropping mix in the upcoming year. And I think about 1 out of 5 producers said they intend to change their cropping mix in the upcoming year in response to these rising input costs. And then we followed up if they said, yeah, I'm going to change. So this is that 1 out of 5 group. What are you going to change? What's going to be your biggest change? And in that group, almost half of them, 46%, said the biggest change would be to devote more of their acreage to soybeans in 2023. The second choice was about 1 out of 4, 26% of them said their biggest change would be more wheat production. So people are worried about these production costs. They're looking for ways to cut back on the dollars that are flowing out. And of course, when you think about the dollars invested to raise a crop, it takes fewer dollars to put a soybean crop in generally than a corn crop. And I think that's one of the things people are considering. And then, you know, the other concern, of course, was just about wheat supplies, largely because of the loss of Ukraine potentially and to some extent Russia with respect to wheat exports around the world. And so some concerns about what's going to happen to wheat acreage in the U.S. And of course, wheat acreage in the U.S. has been on a downtrend for many years now. So we asked about, you know, are you thinking about planting wheat? And among the people who planted winter wheat last year, so people who are still in the wheat production game, so to speak, 1 out of 4, 24%, said they plan to increase their winter wheat acreage this fall. And then this is kind of interesting. Among those who did not plant winter wheat, so this is largely corn and soybean farmers, who did not plant winter wheat last year, 14% of them said they intend to plant some winter wheat this fall, and obviously probably thinking about double cropping that in the following season.
Just quickly here before we run out of time, short-term and long-term farmland values expectations, looks like they both fell. And meanwhile, you've got expectations for 2023 cash rental rates on the rise.
Yeah, cash rental rates, I think pretty convincingly, people think that those are going to go up. And the question is how much. I think a little over half, 52% of the people in the survey, 52% of the corn and soybean producers, I want to clarify there, said they expect cash rental rates to rise next year. And then again, looking at those corn and soybean producers, of the people that said they think rates are going to rise, we followed up and said, how much? 8 out of 10 said they expect rates to rise 5% or more. 4 out of 10 said they look for rental rates to rise by 10% or more in 2023. Yeah. So that's going to put some more pressure on that cost price squeeze.
For sure. For sure. Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next month, buddy. Have a great day.
Thanks, Davis.